This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
For those who are online, please email me and I'll send you the handout, j.golker@gmail.com. Let me begin by sharing an anecdote. A man learned Maseches Sukkah, and he learned it particularly well. And he felt that he was so confident that he knew it well that he wanted to be tested on it. He was a brave man, and he decided to go to none other than the Vilna Gaon to be tested on Maseches Sukkah. Very brave man. And he went into the Gaon, and the Gaon threw a curveball at the very first question. You can know Maseches Sukkah backwards and forwards, but to know this question, you've got to be a Vilna Gaon to know the answer to this question. The Gaon said to him, how many times throughout the whole Masechta do we make reference to a kosher sukkah? And how many times do we make reference to a posel sukkah? Like I said, you can know the Masechta backwards and forwards. And this sort of question, wow, you can't, that's tricky. So the fellow couldn't answer. So the Vilna Gaon said to him, I'll tell you the answer. The answer is, there are 91 references, 91 times that throughout the whole Masechta, where we refer to a kosher sukkah, and 85 times where we refer to a posel sukkah. And the clue, the hint, is in the gematria of the word sukkah. Sukkah can be spelled samach vav chaf he, mole, and the gematria of samach vav chaf he, 60, 6, 20, and 5 is 91. There are 91 references to a kosher sukkah in the Masechta. Sukkah can also be spelled chaser, without the vav, samach chof hey, which is gematria 85, deficient, lacking, and therefore that's a hint to the fact there are 85 references to apostle sukkah throughout Maseches Sukkah. Amazing, amazing anecdote. That's the genius of the Vilna Gaon. But that is an intro, because there is a fascinating cheshek shlema. The cheshek shlema at the back of the Gemara's, the very first piece in Maseches Sukkah, he asks two very interesting questions. Let's take a look at the first box. B'chol Sifrei HaShas, Bavli v'Yerushalmi, throughout the Gemara, Bavli and Yerushalmi, or B'Rav Ilfus in the Rif, B'Harosh, Nidfus Tevas Sukkah B'Vav. Sukkah is spelled with a Vav. Samach Vav Chafei, Acha HaSamach. Avol Niradu Tal Sofa, says the Cheshek Shlema, I think there's a typo. I think there's a printing error in every Gemara, in every Yerushalmi, in every Shulchan Aruch, in every Shais and Tshuvas which discuss Sukkah. I think there's a typo, because that's not the way you spell it. Because the Hari called Teva Sukkah Nimsa B'Tanach, that throughout Tanach, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, Sukkah is spelt Samach Chof Hei without a Vav. We'll see there's one exception, but throughout Tanach it's spelt Choser without. So how come in the Gemara, in Shulchan Aruch, in Peskim, they spell it Samach Vav Chaf Hei? There seems to be a Tor Sofer, says the Cheshek Shlema. Second question. Second paragraph. I'm furthermore very perplexed. I'm perplexed because in the Kabbalistic Sfarim, the Sifrei Mukubalim, it says the Sukkah Mole begematria tzadi aleph. The gematria of the word Sukkah, spelt Mole, full Samach Vav Chafei, is gematria 91. Communion Shame Yud Dalad Hey the Aleph Dalad. The two most common names that we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shem Havoya and the Shem Adnus. Yud, Hey, Avov, and Hey, which is 26. And Aleph Dalet and the Nun Yud is Gematria 65. 65 and 26 is 91, which is Gematria Sukkah. Says the Cheshek Shlema V'Hadov and Matzmiya. This is perplexing. The Heicha Nimsa Sukkah Moli B'Tanach. That is not the way you spell it. You don't find that spelling in Tanach. Etc. etc. What's the relevance, therefore, of the 91 of the gematria of Sukkah if that's not the way you spell it? That is the two. Those are the two kashas of the Cheshek Shlema. Again, question number one: why is it throughout the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch and Peskim that Sukkah is spelt Mani? It seems wrong because throughout Tanakh, with one exception, that it's spelt Choser. And second question. When the Mekubalim discussed the significance of the fact that Sukkah is Gematria 91, which is the combined Gematrias of the two most common names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud Kei Vav Kei 26, and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud 65, which is 91, what's the significance of that? It gets to Sukkah, it's wrong, because that's not the way you spell Sukkah. Okay. Says the Cheshek Shlomo, Ochein, third paragraph. Shuv ra'isi the Dvar Hashem b'fihem. I now have again seen that the Mekubalim are 100% accurate. Emes, diogai tiyumotzosi, because I tried, I toiled, and I found. Be'ezus Hashem, but Tehillim ha'in vov. There is a posuk in Tehillim parak ha'in vov, Bikra, which says, Vayihi b'sholim sukkai u'ma'inosoi b'tziyon. There's one place in Tanakh where sukkah is spelt mole, and there it is in Tehillim ha'in vov. The nichtav shem sukkah, shom, sorry, sukkai b'vov, achar samach. V'imkein, yeshlema pider harimis. The mishmachi ksiv b'chol duch to sukkah chosel l'ramiz, etc., etc. What does that mean? There is a concept in Chazal that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Kisei, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is incomplete prior to Mashiach coming. In other words, before Mashiach comes, the Shem Hashem, the name Ein HaKisei Shalem Ve'Ein HaShem Shalem Ad She'Yimoche Zar Shalom Olam. Therefore, throughout Tanakh, which is Jewish history, which is past looking, we're describing times prior to the arrival of Moshiach, the name of Hashem is deficient, is missing, is lacking, because Ein Hashem Mole, the name of Hashem and the throne of Hashem is not complete until Moshiach comes. Therefore, to allude to that, the correct spelling of the word Sukkah is Samach Chof Hei. But after Moshiach comes, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complete, and therefore it's 26 and 65, the two names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are complete, which combines to 91, and therefore that justifies the spelling of Sukkah, Samach, Vav, Chaf, Hei. Therefore, throughout Tanakh, which is prior to Moshiach coming, we spell Sukkah, Samach, Chaf, Hei. But in the Gemara, and in Shailas and Tshuvas, and Shulchan Aruch, etc., we will spell Sukkah, which is going to last beyond the time Moshiach comes, we spell it Samach, Vav, Chaf, Hei. That's appropriate. Here comes the icing on the cake. What is the one time that Sukkah is spelt Mole in Tanakh? Tehillim Ayin Vov. The Pasuk says, Vayhi b'sholem Sukkai, there'll be a time when the Sukkah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, post Moshiach, will be, Sholem will be complete, and his residing place will be in Tzion, etc. The one time we see Sukkah spelt Mole in Tanakh is referring to post Moshiach time. And therefore, it's spelled Mole. Amazing. So we've now answered our two questions of the Cheshek Shlema. The Cheshek Shlema explains that throughout, it's not a spelling mistake, because Tanakh, throughout Tanakh, which is retrospective, it's looking back, it's pre-Moshiach, we spell it Choser, because the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not complete until Moshiach comes. Therefore, we spell it Samach Chof Hei. Moshein came post-Moshiach, which is, what the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemaras and everything will be describing, because it will be beyond the time of Moshiach's coming. Therefore, it's spelled Mole, Samach Vav Chaf Hei. And there, indeed, is what the Mekubalim refer to as the Gematria of 91, that indeed is the combined Gematrias of the Shem Havoy and the Shem Adnus, which is 91. An astonishing idea. And he continues, there's a bit more to say there, but perhaps you can take a look at the book, the handout, some interesting Hosafas that he makes. But let's move on. Time is short. Everyone is busy. Let's move on. One of the key themes of Sukkot is that of Simcha. It's after all Zaman Simchosenu, the time of our Simcha and our joy, our happiness, more than even the other regalim. Maybe there's a time for another shiur on that. Why Dafka Sukkot is called Zaman Simchosenu more than Pesach, more than Shavuos. But that's for another time. But it's Zaman Simchosenu. What is Simcha? We know that Simcha is this elusive goal that the whole of mankind is sort of trying to pursue. It's enshrined in the Declaration of Independence. Yeah, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We're all aspiring. Everyone is chasing this elusive goal. They tell the story I heard once from Rabbi Lef, that a fellow, and I may have told it on this forum before, I apologize if you've heard it from me already, I sometimes lose track exactly what anecdotes I say, where and when. But it brings the point out that one time an employee was very jealous of his boss because his boss had a fabulous stretch limo and he wanted one as well. And he couldn't really afford it. But he decided he desperately wanted one. He's going to save up. For years, he saved up. He put away some money each week until eventually, after a number of years, he bought himself his much long desired stretch limo. And he was very excited. He took delivery of it. And the first thing he did, he got in, he drove around town to try and find his boss. He wanted to show his boss that he too had a stretch limo. And where was the boss? Funny enough, in his stretch limo. He was sitting in his own stretch limo. So the fellow, this employee, pulled up in his stretch next to the boss's stretch limo. He knocked on the window and he said, "Boss, boss, look, I've got a stretch limo." And the boss was nonplussed. He slowly got out of his stretch limo. He took a sort of a walk around it to inspect it, went inside. And then after a few minutes, he gave his assessment. And he looked at his employee and he said, "It's nice, but where's your indoor pool table? Where's your indoor bar? And where's your 42-inch plasma screen?" Nebuch, this poor employee, was crestfallen, was destroyed. He saved up for so many years to buy this and it didn't quite cut the mustard, didn't make the grade. So he decided he's going to get these additions installed in his stretch limo. So he continues saving up for another year or two and he gets the indoor bar, the plasma screen and the pool table. And eventually he takes delivery of it. And again, he drives around town excited to find his boss. And he drives around and he sees his boss in his stretch limo pulled up on the side, gets out of his car, bangs on the window, "Boss, boss," no answer. Tries again, "Boss, boss," no answer. Banging away 5 minutes waiting to find the boss. Eventually, after 5 minutes, the boss winds down the window and he says, "Boss, boss, I've got my new stretch limo. I've got it upgraded. It's got all those extra things. It's got the 42-inch plasma screen. It's got the indoor bar and it's got the pool table." And the boss looked at him and said, "And for that, you got me out of the shower?" There's always something else. There's always something else. Simcha, happiness, is like in the greyhound races where the dogs, they run after the electric rabbit, but they never quite get it. That is what society seems to think about happiness. But what is true simcha that we're trying to achieve over Yom Tov, Zman Simchosenu, and in life generally? The answer is found, I think, in Parshas Kisavo. The pasuk says, "V'samachta b'cholatoy v'ashenosim l'cha Hashem l'kecha ol'v'esecha." You should rejoice in the parasha of Bikurim with all the blessings which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I've given you." How are you going to be b'simcha? V'nosato la'levi, la'ger, la'yosim, la'almona, etc., etc. By sharing your blessing with other people. If you share your blessing with other people, that is how you achieve simcha. And that is, of course, the famous Rambam in Simchas Yom Tov. The Rambam says in Hilchas Yom Tov, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Ches, when a person eats and drinks on Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, to drink wine, to eat meat. You have to share it with others. In Shar Ha'aniyim Hamlonim, for those who are less fortunate than you. Avon Misha Noel Delos, says the Rambam. Someone who locks his door, for oichel v'sheiser, and he eats hu abonav v'ishtoi with his immediate family, but ein amachel amashkel aniyim l'mori nefesh, and he doesn't include those who are down, who are sad, who aren't as blessed as he may be, ein zu simchas mitzvah el simchas kreisei. That's not a simchas mitzvah. That's you're being mesameach. You're rejoicing your own stomach. You're gladdening your own stomach. That's not simchas yom tov. Simcha is sharing your good fortune with other people. Rabbi Rosner said an interesting hosafa, interestingly, in the Teichacha, because at the end of the Teichacha, in Parshas Kisavo, the pasuk says, that terrible pasuk, which says, why is it, how could it be, that all these terrible predictions of the horrible things that will happen to Klal Yisrael, that have happened to Klal Yisrael, how can there be? The pasuk says, "Tachas Hashem lei avadus Hashem lekecha b'simcha v'tzuv leivav." Because you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha v'tzuv leivav mirev kol. Says Rabbi Rosner that perhaps it's referring to the same definition of simcha at the beginning of the parasha, i.e., that you didn't share your blessings with other people. If a person lives a very self-centered life, then that is a recipe for disaster. Tachas Hashem avadus Hashem lekecha b'simcha v'tzuv leivav. A person has got to try and enjoy simcha by sharing his good fortune with other people. And that also fits in with the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, again, to cut it a bit short, the Gemara says in Shabbos Kufnim Gimel and Aleph, he gives a moshel of a king who invites people, avodiv, to the Suda, to his meal. And there are two groups of people. There are pikchim and there are shaitim. the pikhin, they get ready and they wait by the front door. But they, because the king didn't give a date and a time for when the suda, when this great big banquet is going to start. And therefore, they're ready to go. And but the tipshin, the foolish people, they just go on with their work. They don't get ready. And all of a sudden, the banquet comes and they're unprepared. And the Gemara carries on and says in the name of Rav Meir, nope, I think there's a slightly different moshe. He says both the Tzaddik and the Rishayim get to get into the Suda. Eilu ve'eilu yoishvim. However, halalu oichlin v'halalu re'evin. Tzaddikim will sit at the Suda and they will enjoy the beautiful meal and they'll have a great time. But the halalu, those Rishayim, those tipshim, who didn't listen, then halalu shoysim v'halalu tzmein, they won't enjoy, they won't partake of the Suda. Say the Bali Musa, how can that be? If they're all at the same Suda, how come the Tzaddikim will get to enjoy it and the Rishayim won't? Say the Bali Musa, I'll tell you why. Because we're living in a world without elbows. And they've only got outstretched arms. So if you've got, you're at a meal and you've got a table laden with delicious food, how are you going to eat? Because you can't bring the food to your own mouth. You haven't got an elbow. You can't bring the food back. So Tzaddikim have got a way. Rishayim Nebuch will sit there. They'll sit there tormented and they can't enjoy and partake of the food. But Tzaddikim, who are used to sharing their good fortune with others, you know what they'll do? They'll pick up the fork, they'll take the food, and they'll serve the person opposite them. You don't need elbows to serve the person opposite you. Rishayim, however, are so conditioned not to share that that possibility won't even cross their mind. That's perhaps an explanation. I heard a few weeks ago, nice pshat from my friend, I heard he wasn't well, he should have a refuah shleima, that he says a very geshmak avot in the name of the Shemen HaTov. The Pasuk says in Pashas Kiseitze that a person who has just got married, lo yetze bat tzavo, he shouldn't go out, he's exempt from going to the army in the first year of married life. Noki yele beise shona achas v'simmaches ishtra shelokach, because he should be rejoicing and gladdening his wife in that first year of marriage. Says Rashi, what does it mean, v'simmach es ishtra? Says Rashi, yesamach es ishtra. He should gladden his wife. He should make her happy. The targum of v'yachte yosit to say, make her happy. The metargim v'yachte ili to say. And though the targum, that those who translate the words v'samach, v'somach, not v'simach, but v'somach, that you should rejoice with her, that's wrong. Toyehu she'ein ze targum, etc., etc. In other words, there's two ways of explaining the word v'simach es ishtar. Either it could mean that you make her happy, or that you rejoice together with her. Says Rashi, it means the former. You should make her happy. You should make her happy, and not that you should just have a good time together with her. Says Rabbi Franz, so is when it's Rashi says, Toehu, in the name of the Shemen HaTov, it says, Toehu, he makes a mistake. Really? It's a mistake? We can reconcile it. We can reconcile it in the following way. A person who is Mesamech, is Ishtai, that is how he generates true simcha for himself. The best way to enjoy, to generate the simcha, is to gladden the heart of another person. My friend gave the following marshal. He says in the early years when he was in Kailal, he was on a very tight budget. So he went shopping, and he's got in his shopping list a box of cereal. And he knows that he's got $5 to buy a box of cereal. He can't afford more. So what cereal is he going to buy? Is he going to buy the one that his wife likes, or the one that he likes? Let's say his wife likes the healthy cereal, the all brand, fruit and fiber, whatever it may be. And he, let's say, likes the Cocoa Pops and Frosties. So which one's he going to buy? If he buys the fruit and fiber, all brand, the healthy one, which she likes, for Simach Es Ishtai, ultimately that will generate the Simcha for him, because that is how you get to true Simcha, by making sure that you share your blessings with other people. Okay, let's press on. So that is some insights regarding Simchas Yom Tov. Let's press on with two more ideas regarding Sukkot, but not the beginning of Sukkot, the end of Sukkot. And this is Simchas Torah. It's only a week away, and you can put these ideas in the freezer and then bring them out, come Simchas Torah. Two magnificent ideas that I'd like to share with you. The first is an idea of Rav Soloveitchik in Hari Kedem, a beautiful idea, but he asked two questions. Rav Soloveitchik asked the following two questions. We know that when a person gets called up for the Torah, when a man gets called up in Aliyah LaTorah, he should go very quickly and he should not refuse the aliyah. I remember as a kid growing up in a certain shul here in London that there were two people in that shul who would not just walk up quickly to get an aliyah, they would run. They would run to get called to get their aliyah. As a child, it was always, you know, quite comical. And but they're right. La halacha, they were absolutely right. Indeed, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, it's a Gemara in Brachos, Nun Heyom and Aleph. There are three things which shorten, which truncate a person's life. One of them is someone who gets called up and he doesn't go. And yet, says Rav Soloveitchik, we know the halacha is when a person is asked to daven for the omud, he shouldn't be too willing to go straight away. Initially, he should refuse, and then the second time, he should sort of demur, and the third time, reluctantly accept it. So why the difference? Why is it when it comes to getting called up to the Torah, a person should run and not refuse? And yet, when he gets to, he's asked to daven for the omud, to be the shliach tzibur, he should, you know, resist at first and eventually reluctantly take it on. Why the difference? Second question. The Gemara, the Pasuk says in Shmos Perek Dalet, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to save the Jewish people at the snare, Moshe Rabbeinu refused. And his refusal was punished. The Pasuk says, Vayicha af Hashem b'Moshe Perek Dalet Pasuk Yudalet, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry with Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayome halar nachicha lev yodait, etc., etc. Says the Pasuk, says Rashi on that Pasuk, Vayicha af Moshe, where's the punishment? Says Rashi, halar nachicha halevi. The Pasuk says, ar nachicha was the levi, i.e. you Moshe Rabbeinu should have been the Kohen. And Aaron was going to be the Levi. But because you refused to save Klal Yisrael, therefore you're going to be punished and you no longer are going to be the Kohen. You will be the Levi and Aaron will be the Kohen. The Kuna will come from him. Yet, when Moshe Rabbeinu was given the mantle of leadership in Perek Vav, the beginning of Pashas Va'ira, the Pasuk says, Boidav El Paro, etc., etc., and Moshe Rabbeinu refused. Hey, Bnei Yisrael, Shomer Lev Eichish, Ma'ini Paro, etc., etc. Moshe Rabbeinu refuses. And you don't see Moshe Rabbeinu punished there. So the second question of Soloveitchik is, how come when it comes to saving the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu's refusal was caused a punishment for him, and yet when he was given the mantle of leadership, his refusal was not punished? Why the difference? Those are the two questions of Soloveitchik. And Soloveitchik answers as follows. When it comes to an act of hatzolah, a mitzvah, saving the Jewish people, getting the aliyah la Torah, so then refusal, delay is unacceptable. Hatzolah, you got to just run, you got to go. You're called up to the Torah, go. But when you're given a mantle of leadership, you're asked to assume a position of responsibility, then it's inappropriate, that requires humility, etc., etc. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to become the leader of Klal Yisrael, his reluctance was an expression of his humility, and that is appropriate because that is a very important position to take, and it's appropriate to not assume it straight away. So too, with the Shliach Tzibur, when you're asked to be the Chazan, you are a Shliach Tzibur, you are a rep of the people, and therefore it's inappropriate to just say yes straight away. It should show a little bit of reluctance and awareness of the responsibility involved. Now, it says from Soloveitchik very beautifully, when it comes to the final aliyah in the Torah, Chosn Torah, and the first aliyah for the new reading of the Torah, Chosn Bereishis, there, interestingly, we call up the person. We don't say Ya Amoid so and so. We have a different nusach. We say Amoid, Amoid, Amoid. Why the difference? Why are we calling him up three times? Why do we say Amoid three times? It says from Soloveitchik, beautiful. Because normally, when a person gets called up, that's just Tamar Mitzvah. So you give a mitzvah, Amoid, you should rush up. But when a person is Chosn Torah or Chosn Bereishis, he is a rep of the people. He is a shliach, if you like, of the rest of the whole tzibur to be Messiah the whole Torah. Ah, that's a different story. That's like he's being a chazan, he's a shliach of the tzibur, and therefore it's appropriate to show some sort of hesitation to accept this important position, this position, if you like, of leadership. And therefore, we call him up, Amoid, 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 three times to reflect the halacha when a person is a shliach tzibur, he should only accept on the third occasion. Very beautiful idea of Soloveitchik. One final idea that I heard in the name of Joseph Kalman, a very beautiful idea. When we finish the Torah, we know that we start straight over. And indeed, when a person is Messiah, One also starts straight over. What's this all about? So Rabbi Pelman mentioned, noted the following thing. The Torah begins with what letter? The Torah begins with a base, Bereishis Bara Elokim. And the Torah ends with a lamed, Le'enei Kol Yisrael. That is very strange because the combination of the letters base and lamed are quite negative. A lot of the words with this combination are negative. For example, you have the words Hevel, Novel, Baal, Navarzara, Beli, without, even personalities, Bolok, Bilom. And yet the Torah begins with a base and ends with a lamed, Baal, strange combination. That's Torah Shebichsav. The Torah Shebal Peh gets even worse. The Torah Shebal Peh begins, May Amos Ikonish Shema Ba'arvis, with a men, first Mishnah in Brachos. And it ends with the last Mishnah in Uktzin, Al Tikri Alichas Ela Halochis, with a Sof. That spells Mem Tof, that spells Mace. How strange, a dead person. Said Rabbi Palman, this is the answer. That we never finish the Torah. It's not this linear line that we begin and then we end. Torah is a circle. As soon as we finish, we start over straight away. Midrashim say there's a kitruk on Klal Yisrael. They finish, they don't start straight away. When we make a siyum, we also, as soon as you've made a siyum, you have someone who is maskil who begins the next mesechta. When we finish Chosn Torah, we straight away we do Hagbah, and then we call up the Chosn Bereishis without delay. If that's the case, when we finish and then we begin again, though we've got the order of the letters wrong around. Rather, it's a lamed followed by a base. It spells the word lev, emotions, passion. And Torah Shebal Peh is not mace, but is tof and then mem, which spells the word tom, perfection, Teras Hashem Tamimo. Interestingly, the when you make the Siyum Hashas, Shin Samach, Shas Shisha Sidra is known as the Siyum Hashas, Shin and Samach is Gematria 360, which connotes some sort of a circle. The Torah is not this beginning and end, and then you've done it and finished. But rather, it's an upward spiral, a continuous circle of a journey of growth and excitement. And therefore, that explains perhaps why the end letters, the combinations are what they are. So there we have four very interesting ideas, I hope, to warm up any sukkah. And number one, the idea of sukkah and sukkah, do you spell it mole or chosr? The two questions of the Cheshek Shlema, how come sukkah in Tanakh is spelt Choser, and in the Gemara, and in Shas, and in Paiskin, it's spelt Mole. And how come the Sukkah Gematria 91, that seems to be an inappropriate symbolism of Gematria that the Makabonim speak about? Because that's not the correct spelling of the word. The Teretz says it is. Because Sukkah is, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wrapped up in the name of, in the word Sukkah. It's 91 is the combined Gematrias of 26 to 65. And the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only going to be Mole once Moshiach comes. And therefore, in Tanakh, which is retrospective, it's appropriate to spell it Choser. But in Gemara, in Shuvas, in Paiskim, Rishonim, Achrenim, which is normative, which is going to be beyond Moshiach's coming, we spell it Mole. And that's indeed what Mekubalim are talking about. That's why the Shem Hashem is Mole when we spell it Samach Vav Chafei. That's post Moshiach coming. The one exception is a pasuk by B'Sholim Sukkah, which is talking about post-Moshiach. We then discuss Simchas Yom Tov and true happiness. How do we properly get into a state of Simcha? By sharing the good fortune and blessing that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us with other people. The sharing and focusing on other people is a way to generate Simcha, as we discussed. And then the two ideas on Simchas Torah, which Soloveitchik, why it says Amoid, 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 the two questions we asked, how come for being a Chazan one should refuse initially and eventually on the third time accepted? But yet, the Aliyah of the Torah, you fly up, you go quickly. And then when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, his resistance to save the Jewish people at the snare was met with a punishment. And yet, when he was given the mantle of leadership, his refusal was not punished. How come the difference? The Teretz is, because doing a mitzvah, hatzalah, or going on Aliyah of the Torah, you should not delay. One should do it straight away. Mashenken, assuming a position of responsibility, of leadership, then it's appropriate to show a little bit of hesitation, a bit of humility, a bit of consideration about this important point. And therefore, for being a chazan, a shliach tzibur, or becoming the leader of Israel, then that refusing is not punished, because it's appropriate to think twice about that. And that's why the Chosn Torah and the Chosn Bereishis, we call them up in this unusual way, and we say amoid, 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 to reflect that this is not just some aliyah, but rather an assumption of leadership, of representing Klal Israel. And lastly, that very beautiful idea that when we finish the Torah, we never actually finish. We actually start all over again. And therefore, the combinations of the letters, the beginning and the end of Torah, actually is the wrong way around. It's the end and then the beginning. It's Lev and it's Tom. And that reflects the idea that we never actually finish Torah, but we always start again. And Miss Hashem, we'll take a break over Yom Tov and start again. I think it's Parshas Noach for another cycle to start straight after Yom Tov. Thank you for coming this evening. I wish you all a very good Yom Tov. Kol Tov, good Yom Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.